And you might remember that when Detroit filed for bankruptcy, a lot of people were pointing fingers at the Detroit Institute of the Arts, which has a valuable collection, including the first Van Gogh and the first Matisse bought by an American museum. Some wanted the city to sell off the art to pay for pensions and other obligations. Instead, a grand bargain saved the museum. The museum gave the city $100 million and became an independent institution. Now, the Detroit Institute of the Arts is trying to raise $400 million for its operating endowment, and taxpayer support for the DIA will dry up in a few years. As part of our series of conversations with leaders called View from the Top, Robin spoke with the new director of the DIA, Salvador Salort Pons, who used to be a curator at the museum. She asked him about the financial challenges ahead.
Well, it's true we have to raise quite a bit of money for the museum in the coming years, but I think the DIA is an extraordinary institution, has a wonderful history. So we have a good story to tell, and I think the position of the museum now is different, and we have the opportunity to achieve the permanent financial stability.
Well, let's talk a little bit more, though, about the finances. I want to get to the art, but the finances. You also have to rely on money from the counties. It's a fascinating word. It's called tax millage. Three counties have pledged through a voter referendum to help support the museum. But as you know, there's a lot of discontent. Some county leaders were talking about rescinding that sizable amount of money because there was anger over how money was spent, anger over compensation. As part of this grand bargain, the DIA had to declare your salary. It's $375,000 to start, $475,000 in 5 years. It pales next to the salaries of many CEOs. But here's a city who's had so many financial problems, as you know, almost sold all the art. Why is it important that people contribute millions, really, to keep this museum going? Why is it important?
I think art is very important for society, and the role of the museum in the city is key. I mean, by the programs and exhibitions that we do at the DIA, we provide education, we provide opportunity to all communities. Education is a great equalizer for society. The better a society is educated, the more equal the opportunities will be in the future for citizens.
Well, I know you also want to, you know, throw it more open to the city, if that's the right phrase. You're even talking about doing things out on the plaza.
The vision, just to have a tangible vision about this, is that the DIA will become the plaza, you know, like the town squares that you can see in cities like Madrid, Barcelona, or in Italy, like Rome. The town square where people come during the weekends, for example, to drink a coffee, to read the newspaper, to listen to music, that will be a unifying place, a place welcoming all communities. I think that is the town square that the DIA can be.
Well, which people do you want to be on this town square?
We want everybody. We want all the communities.
Well, we know that 38% of the staff now is African American, but 74% of the visitors are white. And the perception is that in many museums, what's hanging on the wall is from white, male, largely European artists. How do you throw that net a little wider?
Well, we are already working on that. Recently, we had an exhibition about Japanese art. It was called Samurai. We had just recently opened our new Ancient Middle East galleries. We just had a wonderful exhibition about Diego Rivera and Frida Kahlo.
Well, what about younger visitors? A lot of museums are trying to speak the language of the young, which is technology, which some people think, well, that's a complete disconnect right there, technology in a museum. But I'm wondering if you've glanced over at the Chicago Museum. You've got people like a veteran of Walt Disney Imagineering who's been doing immersive shows there. You've got people at the Met in New York looking at video games. Virtual reality is being used in some museums where people put on goggles and the artwork moves around them. What are you thinking?
I think technology is important as long as we know what we use it for. That when someone, for example, is using an iPad and is reading about something about any of our works of art, at the same time that he is reading, this person is looking up and looking at the work of art. So technology needs to be the springboard to or the bridge to the work of art. It should not be a substitute of it.
How do you feel about technology in general? We know there was this, I mean, for instance, do you allow selfie sticks in your museum?
People can get hurt with them, or other visitors, or they can hurt their works of art. So I'd rather not have selfie sticks in a museum.
But on the other hand, how great is it if young people in particular want to flock to a museum to take their picture in front of a work of art?
They can, and they can do it without a selfie stick.
Yeah. people are also talking about a slow culture movement. This is in a new report from the Center for the Future of Museums, and they talk about how people are really in some museums just moving through too quickly, that idea of stopping, maybe even have a slow gallery where you might have manuscripts or video art pieces, and then a fast gallery where you might have hundreds of design objects, and the point is you're supposed to move through more quickly.
I suppose our labels are actually really short, 50 words, because we know that visitors will not read more than 50 words. When we think about our visitors, we think, you know, by paying attention to the work, they will leave the museum with an experience that is meaningful for them because they will remember what they have seen in a personal way.
Yeah. We know you asked the DIA staff to email you the first three things you should do in your first 3 months. What were some of the suggestions?
One of the things that I'm already working in is that we would like to have a nursing room at the DIA.
Hmm. Isn't that interesting? Yes. So that women can do that. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I think it's fair, and I think we're working on it, and we'll have it soon.
But I know you also want more contemporary art.
We would like to, continue working with contemporary art because Detroit is very important now for contemporary art. We have local artists. We have international artists who come to Detroit because they are inspired by the city. And one of the things I would like to do as soon as possible is to fill the position of contemporary art curator.
Just give me an example of how a piece of work is completely altered by the way a curator brings it to us.
Is the way we present the works of art in the galleries. This is just not the work of the curator. It is the work of the educator as well. And they collaborate as a team. Generally, curators are always focusing on the object itself. They know the history. They know the provenance. They know the aesthetic qualities. The educator thinks about the visitor, what the visitor might be interested, how an object can be relevant to a visitor. And I think the way we do it is so meaningful and so powerful that this is one of the reasons the museum was able to obtain the millage 3 years ago.
This is the money from the counties, the contribution.
Yes, they
from the counties.
Voted. They voted yes for us because they thought the museum was important and what we were doing was the right thing.
Well, what is your favorite piece of art in the DIA? And maybe you could tell us not just about the art, but what sets it off, what, you know, why it being there in that space makes it special.
I think my favorite piece at the Detroit Institute of Arts is the frescoes by Diego Rivera. And it's just, you know, unbelievable because it's really like a snapshot of the history of Detroit in 1932, the city that invented cars and basically changed how the world thinks. And then Rivera is a very talented artist, makes you feel that you are in the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican and that Diego Rivera is just Michelangelo.
One wonders, Salvador Salort-Pons, if you're going to be able to, we hear the passion in your voice, if you're going to be able to turn away from that kind of work, you know, curating that kind of work to the bottom line easily.
I will. And I tell you what, because people are interested in the arts and I will continue talking about art. That's for sure.
Yeah. Salvador Salort-Pons, new director of the Detroit Institute for the Arts. Congratulations and best to you.
Thank you so much.